For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We continued to see last night the development of an offense that can be very, very special for the New York Jets. And one of the things that's making it so special is the running back tandem of Breece Hall and Braylon Allen. And there were times yesterday, I admit this, and I'm a Breece Hall guy. I was wearing the Breece Hall jersey at the game last night where I wanted the ball in the hands of Braylon Allen. He is a punishing runner. And I understand, so Tiki said before the break, and you certainly experienced this in the league, and I believe you, but I'm going to be skeptical because I'm a human, that two running backs are not going to have any kind of like, I want the touches. No, I want the touches. That it actually benefits them because it's like a good competition.
It is.
There isn't any part of you that says, I love my guy, but I want the ball.
So this happened in 2000 for me. Giants drafted Ron Dane.
Right.
It was different circumstances because I wasn't really that good at that point. I mean, it's a good third down back, but I wasn't the guy. So they draft the Heisman Trophy, all-time leading rusher in college football history, and will always be because the number is ridiculous how many yards he rushed for in college. And the idea was to replace me. And it motivated me. Now, it helped Sean Payton change our offense a little bit. It became more into the what we see now with all the passes out of the backfield, lining up as a wide receiver. But that year, it was my first 1,000-yard season. But Ron Dane also rushed for 730 yards. And so collectively, we lifted each other. And to this day, we're really close friends. And so it never felt like a competition. It felt like whichever one of us is hot, let's go.
You think that works in every room, though?
It doesn't if you don't have the trust in the relationship. And I think Breece is young enough, obviously Braylon is as well, that it feels still like college. So this is how it is in college. It doesn't matter how high of a recruit you are. There's been a lot of guys that are going to play, period. And so you better be a good teammate with the guy that's with you. And so I think that's likely how this running back room is. It's not like a vet who's seven, eight years old, has incentives tied to his contract, and now this young whippersnapper comes in and is taking away carries from him, and it's going to cost him money. It's not that type of situation in the slightest. So I think nothing but good things can happen.
Look, as a fan, I mean, we're just loving it because it's great talent. Like, I don't really care at the end of the day who gets the touches. Just get in the end zone. That's really all that matters. And the Jets have had, like, you think back to their history, they've had some good tandems like Thomas Jones and Sean Green.
Mm-hmm.
And then LaDainian Tomlinson was signed at the end of his career, but was still useful. Lamont Jordan and Curtis Martin.
Right.
Like, they've had these 1-2 punches, but this one feels very different.
Well,
this feels special.
Well, the reason it does because, like, Breece Hall is one of the fastest running backs in the NFL. Maybe he is the fastest. I don't know. I don't know what his 40 time was. But you see him on the field. Like, he has that, like, acceleration ability. And Braylon Allen is one of the most physical big running backs in the NFL. Yet, they're interchangeable.
Right.
You can use either one of them in a short yardage situation, as we saw on the goal line. You can use either one of them as a wide receiver. They both had receiving touchdowns in week one. And it weren't like dump downs. They weren't easy catches. Like, they were catches. And so they have a unique combo at running back that I don't think a lot of teams have the luxury to have.
Yeah. And look, they deserve a nickname. I don't like the Killer Bees because the Killer Bees exist. It's already happened. Like, the Astros had the Killer Bees.
Not
the WWE tag team had the Killer Bees.
This is football.
I know, but it's been done before. It's like so cliche.
Okay, but it's hard.
There's so many Killer Bees. There's Killer Bees all over the place.
It's hard to just generate a nickname that's going to stick.
Oh, I've got one already.
Go ahead.
You want to hear it? By the way, the Killer Bees were in football. Didn't the Steelers have a Killer Bees nickname too? Like, I think the Steelers had one. The Astros middle of the order had one. The overrated WWE tag team was one. Like, I'm telling you, there's been a million Killer Bees, including in the NFL. I got one. You ready for this?
Let's hear it.
Ha.
Ha.
Hall Allen, H-A, ha.
It's so bad, it's funny.
But you're laughing.
It's so bad.
How about B-squared? Instead of Killer Bees, B-squared. How about Big B and Tiny B? Come on, Sean, you're creative.
The Boeing 747s. They're jets.
Your fan fiction about Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh hating each other, much more creative than that one, though.
Well, because it wasn't fan fiction.
Dude, it is fan fiction. You got to stop with
it. Can I ask you how much sugar they put in the Kool-Aid that you drink every time Aaron Rodgers does something?
Kool-Aid? It's not Kool-Aid. It's calling it like it is.
No,
I mean,
no.
Aaron and Robert, and we played the clips earlier. You can rewind on the Odyssey app to about 2:30. They both corroborated the same thing.
It's crazy, though, that two guys who immediately speak to each other before they go meet the media could ever do that. That's so
weird. You think
weird.
That's what they did? They went out of their way and said, let's corroborate.
Well, hold on. If you're the Jets and you're Coach Saleh, yes, I'm going to call him Coach Saleh because he's my coach of my 16-1 Jets. Wouldn't you go out of your way after the whole Egypt unexcused absence thing to, I'm assuming somebody in that Jet room who handles PR said, you're going to be asked about this. The whole world saw it. You don't think they'd get on the same page knowing their past problems?
If they were competent, they would be. But there's a difference. Like when
don't think they're competent?
The Jets have shown at times they're not competent. Correct. But when Jeff McNeil and Francisco Lindor corroborated the squirrel, rat, whatever thing
raccoon,
it was so obvious that it was BS. It was obvious. I think we all could see right through that BS. I don't think this is BS.
Oh, no, Rogers going, oh, Bobby, no, nothing was awkward. No, that didn't give you any hints?
No, that did not give me any hints. No.
I just think, again, I've been there, you've been there.
How have we been there? With what? With our boss?
Evan.
With our coaches?
Don't make me drag that great franchise that plays across the East River in Brooklyn down with us. We turn a blind eye to when superstars overlook authority.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is doing exactly what Kevin Durant and Kyrie did in Brooklyn.
No
and
chance.
By the way, it almost won the Nets a championship.
Nets still in the league.
I do feel, and we're a very select group. Actually, you're not in the group because you're not a Jet fan. There's a very select group who share the Nets experience and the Jets experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get into what broke that team apart, but I don't believe it was Kevin Durant having too much control. So I don't agree with
Maybe
that
not.
Thesis. And so if Aaron Rodgers has too much control, I don't think that's going to be their downfall either. I think it's overblown by people that really didn't pay attention or that just hated that team to say that's what went wrong with them. That was not it.
I think it's overblown because of the dynamics of a head coach who's a defensive-minded coach.
Right.
Who's defensive philosophy, you know, that's what takes precedence for him. And you have an offensive coordinator and quarterback who are perfectly fine being independent.
Yeah.
Perfectly
and it
fine.
And it can work. And by the way, again,
it has worked.
Absolutely.
The Broncos, you don't see it very often.
Yeah.
You just don't. Honestly, because there's not a ton of defensive head coaches anymore.
Right. There's very few.
In the NFL. So you've seen it work.
I know that this is me and about 12 other people, including a guy on hold who can experience this. Watching Aaron Rodgers last night and his utter brilliance did bring back memories of watching Kevin Durant and his utter brilliance. Am I right, Kendrick and Suffern, who happens to be a Jets-Nets fan? You felt that too last night, didn't you?
Evan, I felt it. And let me tell you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I have to own something that I said a few months back.
Go ahead.
When I told Aaron Rodgers he's going to have to pick a lane when it came to politics and football. But if he was running still and today was election day, RFK and Rodgers ticket would take Wisconsin, New York, New Jersey, and every other state on the East Coast here. But in all seriousness,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Allo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're 100% right. I keep telling my friends that this reminds me of Kevin Durant in the way that I expected greatness, but even my high hopes didn't reach what I watched yesterday. And I want to talk about Salah and Rodgers now, because I am sick and tired of hearing the bozos on the other side who don't have a coach on their team bash my guy Robert Salah. Robert Salah leads in a different way than other coaches. He trusts his assistants. He allows Hackett to run the offense. And guess what? He allowed the Tennessee running back coach, who now has baby Derrick Henry in the backfield, to draft Braylon Allen. He allows his defensive coordinator to put in Jamien Sherwood to replace C.J. Mosley. He allows his defensive coordinator to put in Brandon Echols last week when D.J. Reed wouldn't play. Last night, we got to the quarterback. The week after, we lost our top edge rusher to a season-ending injury. Unlike last year, Robert Saleh learned from his mistakes, and he didn't run a field goal kicker out that was hurt. He has a backup plan. As the great Triple H says, there's always a plan B. And Robert Saleh has figured out plan B, C, and D. And yesterday, he proved that over the past 4 years, he's had a plan. He just needed his man. And he has him. And the Jets have taken flight. And Tiki, I love your man, Nate Hackett, because he has stretched the field vertically, horizontally. He's opened up the middle of the field for the tight end. And this offense is cooking. And when when Salah calls a timeout, Tiki, I have a question for you as a former player.
Go ahead.
When Zach Wilson had a timeout and had to go to the field, do the coaches talk to him the whole time out to figure out what he's thinking? Because my whole thought is those timeouts, it allows Rodgers to play that backyard football with those players, and he's not talking to the coaches. It sounded like he set up a play with Tennessee with Breece Hall last night again.
Yep.
He had a play coming out of the timeout where you don't have to watch film because you trust your players.
Right.
So those timeouts that Robert Saleh is calling, it allows his quarterback to be who he needs to be.
Right. In some ways, it is beneficial. You're right, Kendrick. It's beneficial when you have essentially a coach on the field, because Aaron Rodgers can get you right no matter what the issue is, whether it's a pressure he sees coming or it's a matchup that he wants to take advantage of. And we saw this. We've seen it multiple times in weeks 1 and 2 where he'll give a signal. It's so subtle you don't even see it. And Garrett Wilson's supposed to be running whatever, an in-breaking route or a slant or something like that. All of a sudden, he's just running a little bubble, right? Because they're playing off coverage. Guy, the cornerback is 8 yards deep. All right, the one happened right before his touchdown.
Right.
I'm just going to throw it to you. Why would I ask you to run a route that's likely to fail? And we've seen this. Actually, you will see this on the documentary that's coming out on Netflix about him, about his Achilles recovery, where he talks about percentages of success on different plays versus given the coverage that he's given. When he sees a cornerback that far off, I'm throwing you the football. He gives him a signal. He steps up to the line of scrimmage. The ball goes right to Garrett Wilson. He craps on the defender, almost breaks it, and almost gets into the end zone, setting up first and goal on the 2-yard line. Right, those are the things that Aaron Rodgers can do to get his team right when the situation isn't ideal.
Yeah, that is all great. I think the concern moving forward, because again, you want to see things that happen and say it didn't matter last night.
Right.
This could matter down the road, is you do not want to have to waste timeouts in the first few minutes of a third quarter. Because there are going to be games, unlike last night, we're going to need those timeouts.
Agreed.
So while those timeouts may have worked out because they scored a touchdown on that drive,
right.
And yes, it may have created a better plan, it can hurt you in a different kind of game.
But I think in that moment, it was justified. Because if you are on the doorstep like they were, you got to get points.
But you're telling me if it's a 10-10 game, they wouldn't have called the timeouts? You know what I mean? Like, if they weren't on the doorstep of blowing them out, would they have said, it's a close game, we got to be more careful and take a delay of game?
Maybe.
And guess what? If they take the delay of game at home where the crowd's on your side, that's a problem too. There's no excuse for that to happen. And look, here's the good news. First of all, this is not on Robert Saleh. I want to make that clear. This is on Aaron Rodgers and the offense.
The more you're probably taking the timeout regardless.
I think you are too.
When you're that close and you have a chance to score a touchdown, you're going to give yourself the best chance to score a touchdown.
And, Teague, that's great when you score a touchdown, but it's also bad when there's 2:57 to go and you need those timeouts. So this offense, I'm confident it's going to get better because it's going to get better with experience. It's only 3 weeks into the season. I want to see this offense cut down on having the play clock about to expire and being forced to use a timeout. But to me, that's on Rodgers and this offense. It's not on Robert Saleh. And to Kendrick's point, I think Kendrick may have put Robert Saleh over a little bit too much. I don't necessarily agree with him, but here's one thing I do agree with. The early returns is that he is a CEO head coach and that Nate Hackett and Aaron Rodgers is running this offense.
Right, and defensively, it's probably a lot of brick.
And it's a lot of Jeff Ulbrich. And what their adjustments have been over the last week and a half has been tremendous, because what a difference from week one.
Mm-hmm.
I get the opponent's different, but the results are also very, very different. And so it doesn't mean Saleh's perfect. It doesn't mean there aren't concerns. Like, I give you another one. They committed a lot of penalties in this game.
Yeah.
Granted.
Some of them were aggression penalties.
And some of them were what we like to call BS.
Right, of course.
Like, they were actual crap calls. Felt like the referees were desperately trying to keep the Patriots in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that happened. I'm saying that's how it felt, you know, at MetLife Stadium when I'm watching the replay and I'm like, are we freaking kidding ourselves here with this call? But, yeah, they got to cut down on that. They can't be an undisciplined team, and they've been that for a while, and that's got to change.
Evan, I just want to update you. Right now, we're looking at $230. $230.
For what?
Round trip flight leaving Monday, February 3rd to New Orleans. So the way the fans are celebrating, like, the AFC Championship game was just...
Who said anything about the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, Kendrick basically has Saleh being coach of the year. I'm just letting you know now, since today he's being treated like the AFC Championship game was last night.
We're not, though.
I'm just giving you the flight prices,
Sean. This is the problem.
I know you like to look ahead.
No, we're not, though. Jet fans are happy they kicked a bad team's ass and are hopeful for the future. You can't take it because it's your town, right?
This is a
giant town. And when the little guy starts to make noise, you get bothered. And by the way, Loogie, don't even add anything because you're a hypocrite, because you're a Met fan. And so you get pissed off when Yankee fans do the same thing little brother. So when you try to convert yourself from little brother to big brother, everyone sees right through you. You're a hypocrite. At least Sean's a consistent, not fat, that's not the word.
Husky.
Consistent, arrogant bleep.
You're flip-flopping all over the place.
We're the little guy and taking over the town versus, shut up, small man.
Okay.
This is our town. It's like you can't make a decision.
I wasn't going to say that, by the way. I just want to throw one thing out to you, Evan.
Douchey comment do you want to make after the Jets beat the Patriots tookuses? Tell me. We all want to know. We all want to hear what negative you want to bring up, because you can't take the fact that the Jets had a good night and not one person here on this show has uttered the phrase Super Bowl. But go ahead.
You don't learn.
We're all ears.
You don't learn from your mistakes, because last year, after Aaron Rodgers went down in week one, you allowed a win to cloud your judgment. The quarterback pushed the head coach and basically told him to go scratch. You are ignoring that because they won. Had they lost, you would have been talking about it the whole show.
You know
so once again, you're ignoring the big picture.
You're right. I'm biased. Tiki Barber, as a performer or former professional NFL player, do you agree with that sentiment?
Well, it doesn't matter. Whether or not it's impactful to their relationship, it's great. But it doesn't matter. Aaron Rodgers doesn't need a relationship. Now, I think he does have a relationship with Robert Saleh, but I don't think he needs one for cohesion to exist for the New York Jets offense. So it's why I said earlier, it's interesting But it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So let me put this in terms that Loogie would understand. Do you think there's an issue between Rod? It doesn't matter if there's an issue. Now he understands. Now Loogie's shaking his head like, oh, okay, I get okay. that now.
Oh, I hear. You just talked in WWE. It makes sense now.
Yeah. Now, if you did that, it would have been much more impactful. If Tiki whipped out a Rock imitation.
I did say it. I just didn't say it in the what do they say for karaoke? In the style. I didn't say it in the style.
You want to try it in the style?
Of the Rock. No, I sound like a moron. I'm like a moron. I'm not ever running for president.
You saying he is?
I'm saying nothing.
Let's go to Keith in Caldwell. What's up, Keith?
What up, Keith?
Hey, let's go. Hey, guys, what's going on? I got your nickname for your running back.
All right, let's hear it.
Ground B&B instead of Airbnb.
Oh. That's actually pretty good.
Dude, that is solid.
That is pretty. So this is why we opened up the discussion, because the Killer Bees is cliche.
Yeah, when he said ground, I was like, ugh, this is going to suck.
Yeah, I thought he was going to go ground and pound or something.
I know, and then he's like, ground B&B. And I'm like, dude,
Yeah.
Wow, this, you might have something.
This is the problem.
Hey, Gallo, put that out there from Evan and Tiki. We got a nickname for the Jets. Ground B&B.
So what you're saying is, stop the count. That's it. Yes. That's the nickname.
I mean, that's a hard one to come up to better.
Listen, all I know is that sometimes in life, we're very repetitive. Like, we do it in movies, where we start, like, remaking the same movies over and over and over again. And you start to think to yourself, well, can you be creative and come up with, like, a new movie? And the Killer Bees has been done 5,000 times.
Right.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. If you, right now, Sean, Google the Killer Bees in sports. I guarantee you're going to come up with, like, a line in hockey that was called the Killer Bees. You'll come up with the WWE tag team. The Astros, middle of the order, Bagwell and Biggio and all those clowns. I'm telling you, the Steelers had a Killer Bees nickname. Like, there's just...
Because of the uniforms, right? Because how they looked.
Oh, yeah, because they got the Bumblebee uniforms, right. Yeah. So, for different reasons, but they're all there, man. Joe in Colonia, what's up, Joe?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Love your show. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, man.
I got to bring something up to Evan's attention.
Go ahead.
I don't know if you realize this, but you do this whisper every once in a while.
Uh-oh. Is it like freaky?
It's very disturbing. You sound like a stalker on the phone. Like, I know you're alone. I'm watching you.
Well,
I don't know if you realize if you do it or not. It's very bizarre.
Well, I have good news and bad news, and I've always said this, Joe. There's an episode of How I Met Your Mother, one of the great TV shows of all time, in which they start to reveal things that the friends do, and they bring it to everyone else's attention. Like, Loogie has certain habits. If I brought it to everybody's attention, it would be like a glass breaking, and every time he did it, you would notice it, right? Mm-hmm. And this is for everybody in life. I don't mean to pick on you. We all have it.
Totally fine.
So when you bring something like that up on anything that I do, I'm now going to notice it, and whether it's good or bad, it's dead.
Yeah.
It's just over, because then I'm going to notice it, and it's just going to go away. So here's my guarantee to you. I will probably do a creepy whisper at some point in the next 6 days. I'm going to notice it in my head. And in my head, you know what I'm going to say to that whisper?
What's that?
You know this quote. You're dead to me. And it's just going to disappear.
Okay.
But that's the thing. Like, you should make a list this weekend, Tiki, for all of us. Because you're like the better human than all of us, too. And you're, you know, more professional and better looking and all that. One thing all of us do. And it doesn't even have to be something that annoys you, but lean towards annoy you. And I guarantee if you bring it to all of our attentions, we'll all notice it about each other, and then it's gone. Maybe not Loogie, because he's very hard, you know, hard-pressed to give something up.
I don't want to hear my flaws.
You don't want to hear your flaw?
It's not a flaw. It could just be a quirk.
It could be a quirk. But I'm telling you, once you hear it, you're not going to want to do it anymore.
All right, give it to me.
No, we have to think about it. We're going to spend the whole weekend thinking about it.
All right.
If anyone has ideas on what Sean and Loogie does, DM me, at Evan Roberts, WFN.
I want Sean to stop acting like a douche. That's his thing.
So, if you remember, Craig used to point out the fact that he would ask me for something and I would repeat it back to him.
Yes!
But there was a psychology to that. It was that I didn't want to do it because it was ridiculous and I wouldn't be able to do it. So I would ask it back to him so he would hear how ridiculous it was.
You don't do that to us, though.
Because you don't ask me to get the president on the phone and a spork. Hey, Tommy, get me a slice of pizza and Sidney Sweeney here. Right. It's like, I can't do either.
I apologize.
Craig, you want me to eat you a slice of pizza? There's no pizza out there.
Exactly. That's why I did it.
You just sparked something in my head. The other day, Tiki Barber said he was going to try to do something for me, and it's very similar to what you just said.
I made a comment about, man, I'd love to interview somebody. And I said who the person was. He's a former president. And Tiki's like, I think we could get him on. So I'm just reminding you, what's going on with Dubs?
Yes.
Have we freed up his schedule yet?
I gotta reach out to his wife's book publisher.
Oh, nice. All right. That'll be a fun one. George W. Bush.
I gotcha.
He used to be president. He threw out the first pitch after 9/11, owned the Texas Rangers.
Threw a strike.
War in Iraq. Mm. You know the deal.
Yeah.
Listen, strategery.
I'm going to back you up here. The Jets have to stop the killer bees nonsense.
Why?
Because Evan sent me down the rabbit hole of how many killer bees there have been. Yes, the Steelers had it. Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell.
Oh, that's
but
right.
But it was Brown and Bell. But more importantly, Evan, you can't do it because the 1981 Dolphins, led by Bob Boomhauer.
That's right. I remember hearing bees. The Dolphins had
and
that. Yeah.
We've already had a killer bees in this town in sports.
Who?
Dylan Betances, Manny Benuelos, and Andrew Brackman, the New York Yankees killer bees.
That's right.
Wow.
Oh, my God, there's so many. Yeah, it's dead. We can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So Ground B&B.
Ground B&B was the idea?
Ground B&B.
Maybe Braylon Allen is just ground beef.
When we come back, we'll get to more of your calls on a great Jet victory. We'll look ahead to the Giant weekend. And if you missed it, you'll get to hear it. After Jets beat the Patriots Tookuses, there was actually a live comedy show at MetLife Stadium right after.
What?
I swear to God, and we'll play you some of the more funny or risque jokes coming up in just a few minutes, plus the great Joe Bedingo at 4. Joe B coming up at 4 o'clock. A lot of football to get into, including previewing the Giant game, setting it up for the Yankees and Mets weekend. But I appreciate anyone who tries something new. Even if it doesn't work out, you gotta try new stuff. Maybe it'll be great, maybe it'll suck. Last night, after the Jets beat the Patriots, Amazon Prime decided we're gonna try something so different. We're gonna have a comic do a stand-up routine about what we all just witnessed. I'm not even kidding you. So Amazon Prime brought in the great Nikki Glaser. Nikki Glaser was on the Tom Brady roast.
Mm-hmm.
She is a very, very funny woman.
She's the queen of roast. So this was just to preface this. This is not really a stand-up routine.
It is a stand-up routine. Yes, it is. That's what a roast is. You stand up, and in that case, you're insulting people, but it's a stand-up routine.
Okay. But it's important to note for her preface before you play these clips, to be fair to her, this was about roasting the situation. Stand-up comedy is a little different than a roast.
See, I disagree. I think it's very similar. I think it's a kind of stand-up comedy where you're making fun of people, which a lot of comedy is anyway. But yes, she is a roaster. She was on the Tom Brady roast like I talked about, and I've heard her with Howard Stern a lot. And she's a roaster. And she's very funny. I think she's a very, very funny woman. Have you heard her before,
Jake? I have never heard her before.
Really?
And I didn't hear this last night. Well, so I'm interested to hear.
I'm going to play you a couple of things. You ready?
Yes.
Let's do number one. This is where she's going to compare the New York Jets to Bruce Springsteen. Take a listen.
The Jets really needed a win tonight because the Jets are a lot like Bruce Springsteen. They're based in New Jersey, and they've spent the last 4 decades making grown men cry.
Yeah, not that funny. Nice try, though. I didn't do it for you, did it?
Grown men cry at Bruce?
Yeah.
I just went to Bruce, my first experience.
Grown men don't cry?
I didn't cry. I was very entertained.
Interesting.
But I was not crying.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that one felt kind of flat. But here's a joke about the Patriots and Bill Belichick. This one's pretty good.
It's the New England Patriots. The Patriots. The only thing that Ben Affleck can commit to.
Oh.
Featuring their brand new coach, Gerard Mayo. I mean, this has got to be rough for Bill Belichick. Watching his ex rebound with a hot black guy.
That was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I like that one.
I did like that one.
Who wants a January 6th joke? I mean, why not? Like, I think it's been enough time, right?
But let's face it, this was a beatdown. I haven't seen a group of Patriots take an L this bad since January 6th. I mean, thank God Belichick wasn't there to see this. He was too busy watching Blippi with his girlfriend. She's 24. You know, the Jets may have scored more points, but in the end, it was the Patriots who really won because they got to leave New Jersey.
Oh, come on.
Aww.
Why are you taking a shot at one of the great states in our union?
You know what I realized about humor?
People think about New Jersey as like the, I don't know, Newark and Trenton and Camden.
What should we think about all the malls and the gas stations?
No. Florham Park, Bedminster, Bergen County. There's a bunch of beautiful places in New Jersey.
No, New Jersey is a beautiful place. I love New Jersey. I don't want to let my
guests... Garden State.
Yeah. Every state has a nickname.
I know. But ours is for a reason.
Oh.
It's green. It's ridiculously green.
It's also very swampy. A lot of swamps.
Some swamps here and there.
Look, New Jersey... Jersey, are you bothered by, did that offend you? Is that what you're trying to tell
me? No, I just hate that people take shots at New Jersey, especially people who have never spent time in New Jersey.
Oh.
If you've never been to New Jersey, you think it's the Jersey Shore and, you know, the I don't know, the hoodie places of the country. It's not.
But don't we all like that? Like, if I brought up my Wyoming to you, we'd all just have our stereotype about Wyoming. Like any place that
I don't think so. Well, unfortunately, I mean, fortunately, I've been to Wyoming.
That's true. You've been everywhere.
So it's gorgeous. So it's like I can see why people moved out here and said this is God's country.
Yeah,
honestly, I get it.
Tiki's mostly offended by the New Jersey insult,
which makes it a great joke. By the way, it's a roast. You're supposed to be offended by it.
Dude,
that's what makes a good joke.
The got problem him to is react. It's just a bad stereotype.
You're really bothered by this one.
It's just a bad stereotype.
I know, but it's just good natured. I mean, I love, honestly, Tiki,
I'm
love
just standing
New Jersey.
Up for New Jersey.
No,
and I'm in the New Jersey Hall of Fame.
That's right, you are.
I love Jersey.
Yeah.
Been there for over, I mean, almost half my life now.
Wow.
Right?
More time in Jersey than where you grew up?
Yeah.
Have you done that yet?
No, in New York for sure. But not quite Jersey.
That's when you know
you're... Because I lived in the city for my career and then a couple years after.
That counts, though, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah, once you're in the area, it counts. I got to tell you, I think Nikki Glaser is really funny, and I thought some of those jokes were pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a great idea. I like this. Mm-hmm. It's timely. It's right after a game. And here's the truth about jokes, and I think we're all mature enough to just not get offended. The more offensive they are, the funnier they are.
By the way, why would you want to go back to Boston? I'd much rather go to New Jersey than Boston.
You're still on
we
this?
We lost them.
Seriously. There are gardens in Boston, too.
Yeah. It gets cold and nasty. And, like, the people are, like, I don't know, rude.
Yeah.
Seriously?
No, I'm not defending Boston.
It's just a matter of fact she's wrong.
You're really bothered by this.
Tiki, what about if she did this joke? Breece Hall, named after the dorm he was conceived in.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to cut that one. Do you want that one?
That one made me laugh out loud.
Breece Hall's named after the dorm he was.
I think you didn't like that one either.
I apologize. I only took my favorite ones.
I don't get it.
That Hall is usually a dorm name. Like, so Breece Hall.
I went to Virginia where we had Metcalf first left.
See, that wouldn't have worked, Sean. He didn't find that one funny.
So what was
the funniest joke that she had? The January 6th one or the Jared Mayo, Bill
Belichick
one?
The Jared Mayo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She called Aaron Rodgers Throw Rogan. Did you like that?
I think that the problem she faced, and this is with all comedy, is if I stood here with nobody around, or you stood here with nobody around, and you just started making really, really funny jokes, but there was no laugh. It was just you doing it. I don't think it resonates the same way. And this really hit me during the pandemic when they tried to do these shows without an audience. And you're like, you need the audience.
Yes, of course.
And I think what happened last night, so just to give you the visual of this, Nikki Glaser is on the Amazon Prime set with Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tony Gonzalez, Clarissa Thompson, Richard Sherman.
Andrew Whitworth,
right? That's the whole crew.
Yes.
And nobody really laughed.
Yeah.
And I know they're in a tough spot because if you don't find it funny, are you just going to pretend to laugh? Tony Gonzalez tried. I give him credit.
I think they got put in an awkward spot. And this is what's unfair to Nikki Glaser.
Put in an awkward spot.
And I think it's unfair to the panel, too. We live in a day and age where you're in that kind of job in media. You're afraid to get caught laughing at the wrong thing in that kind of environment.
Yes.
The next day, they don't want to wake up to, can you believe Andrew Whitworth laughed at the January 6th joke?
Oh, you think that's what it was?
Or the hot black guy thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, if you're a black guy, you can laugh at that. Yeah.
And we waited for you to laugh first.
right. If you're in a theater.
Okay? Is that racist? Is he going to hate me if I laugh at that?
If you have bought tickets to watch Nikki Glaser perform and do this and go to a theater to see it, you are with, you know, 12,000 people who are all paid to do the same thing. Nobody's judging you. On that spot, on national TV, national web stream, whatever we're calling Amazon.
That's a miss.
You have to sit there God, if I laugh at this, my job's over.
That's
they put
a good
them
point.
On a bad spot.
Yeah, you get canceled so quickly these days.
So how do you make it work? Is it not workable then?
You just don't do it, or you let her... I don't know how to do it to the stadium.
Could she record it and you just play it back almost where she's not doing it live on a set?
Yeah. I don't think that works either because, again, I think that laughs matter.
You need the immediate reaction.
Yes.
100%.
I also notice, like, going to comedy events that sometimes I find myself laughing at things that aren't even that funny, but I start laughing because everyone else is laughing. And there's almost like this pressure of, Oh, maybe that was funny.
It's infectious.
Yeah. I do think it matters. And I noticed that during the pandemic, and even last night, it was kind of the same thing. You need other people laughing. And if they're not laughing, it doesn't really work.
But remember, when you go to a stand-up comedy show, you're not allowed to take videos because stand-up comedy is the one arena where you can't get canceled because you could just say whatever. So if you're doing this on Amazon, a bunch of people that could get canceled, they don't want to laugh at it.
So, but you're going back to why they didn't laugh.
Yeah.
Right,
but it was funny.
If it's an audience of people, it doesn't matter. Like, people, I think, would just laugh.
Oh, people would definitely laugh at that stuff.
People,
because, like I said,
stand up
comedy is uncancelable.
Yeah, people definitely laughed at these jokes at home,
but
it just sounds over. But I think some might have watched it going, ooh, is she bombing? Because they weren't getting that laughter on TV.
Right, right. Yeah, that communal reaction wasn't happening in real time.
By the way, this is a perfect time to do this. It's actually coincidental, but you mentioned Craig before. Our old buddy Craig Carton is having another comedy event at the Gotham Comedy Club, and they're doing it for a great cause, the Joseph Lem Memorial Foundation, and that's coming up in, I think, about a month. But bottom line is you go to the website, GothamComedyClub.com, you can buy tickets. It's always a fun event. We have a lot of comedy shows, and it's always for a great cause. So I love comedy, and to me, more offensive the better, but last night I liked it. But we need to tweak it now to make it work. We need a live audience. We need an audience.
Yeah, but how do you do that?
I don't know.
After a game.
I don't know. If they would have told me, I would have hung out.
After the game, you go to the parking lot with a bunch of drunk people, make that same jersey joke. You think Tiki got offended? Mickey might not have made it out of there alive.
I think people would have laughed. I would have laughed.
Actually, you know what? That is the way to do it. Put up a little stage in some little area of the parking lot and have two big speakers booming out.
Well, I'll tell you exactly. So for MetLife Stadium, obviously, next Thursday night. Wait a second. Isn't next Thursday night at MetLife Stadium as well?
It sure is.
Oh, so this works because it's Giants-Cowboys. When you leave MetLife, like I was leaving the Moody's Gate last night, there's the beautiful mock football field. You set her up right there.
Right, 100%.
Put a stage on the field. It's right outside, kind of the gate going in.
Know exactly what you're talking about.
As people are leaving, and you can record it to tape. So even if Amazon doesn't want to air it live, you just record her standing up as a bunch of drunk, angry, or happy, in our case, because you'll probably be angry next week. People are leaving the stadium.
I mean, it's going to be half Cowboy fan, so no matter what happens, it's going to be happy.
And if you set
that's what I meant.
And you might have to set up midway through the third quarter, depending on how the game goes as well.
But honestly, that's the way to do it. Who doesn't want a good laugh when they're leaving a stadium anyway?
No, you're right.
I think we just
solved it. Amazon, don't even send us a check. We got you covered.
She is doing four more games this year, so we'll see.
Yeah, no, I heard her say that. I thought she was pretty good. Look, the thing about comedy is not all are going to
hit. She's going to do next week. Because why would you not try to take advantage of a New York audience?
A Giants-Cowboys game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A New York audience. It makes sense for this one, obviously, but you get another New York audience? Of course you're going to do it. Of course she's going to do it next week.
I have also realized that I actually like Thursday night football. I used to dislike it, but I'll tell you exactly why.
Because the Jets played and they won?
You think that's it? Hear me out on this. For anyone that went to the game last night, there were 80,000 people at
MetLife
Stadium.
Personally going to the Thursday night game.
Yeah.
I got you.
If you go to the game. So like next week, the Giants are at home. They're taking on the Cowboys. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are going to the game. Are you going to that game, Sean, next Thursday?
To be determined at the moment.
You want to see if the Yankee-Oriole game matters?
Well, no. I want to see if the Giant game matters. We'll find out Sunday night.
What kind of comment is that?
If they're 0-3, it's not going to be important enough for
me. I am not going.
I'll be there.
You'll be there no matter what.
I'll be there no matter what.
That's because you're a real fan.
No. That's not...
Bro, you're not going to go based on their record three weeks in the season?
I have been to many Cowboy beatdowns of the Giants. I am not putting myself in a spot if this team is 0-3 and it looks bad. So again, it's how it looks, too, to walk in there and basically just be heckled for 4 hours.
Okay, what if the Cowboys get stomped this weekend and they're 1-2?
Might scare me more. Might scare me more.
What kind of fan are you? It doesn't matter what their record is. You go to the game. Like, do I know? I'm a Nets season ticket holder, dude. They're about to have the worst season ever. Like, you're going to tell me? You don't think I know about going to see bad teams?
You go to Cowboys playing this week. I even forget.
The Ravens.
Ravens. Oh, yeah.
It's a big
must win, but it's in Dallas.
Right. Evan, you go to one game as a Jets season ticket holder. Suddenly you want to tell everybody how to be fans with their NFL team.
Well, have I not gone to Jets games when they stink?
Dude, I'm already going to Giants-Eagles. I'm committed to that. I can't deal with two of those things.
I went to the Myles Garrett-Kill Trevor Siemian game. Do you remember that game a couple years ago? Yeah, you should get yourself familiar with that because you're facing him this weekend.
No.
So you should get yourself around. I know he's not 100%.
We have the best combo of tackles in the league. I'm not worried about that.
I'm just saying watch out. Like, it doesn't matter what your team's record is, you go. But I'm sorry, I do want to make my point real quick and then we'll get to your calls. I apologize. The beauty of a Thursday night game is that when you drag the next day because you stayed up really late, it's a Friday. And it's like, not a big deal. It's a Friday.
Given Fridays as of late, it's basically just an extended weekend.
Exactly. For most people, it is.
Sorry, boss.
I'm not going to work from home today. Well, actually, I might hop on the call, but you won't see my face.
Exactly.
Or hear my voice.
Now,
because I'll actually still be in my pajamas in bed.
Bingo. Now, if you try to do that on a Monday night game or a Sunday night game, the following day is a tougher day to pull off. So I think selfishly, if you're going to go out to MetLife or JetLife Stadium and stay out very late, a Thursday night's a lot better than a Monday night or a Sunday night.
You know what's funny? I don't know why I was offended when you were like, Jet Life Stadium. It's not Giant Stadium. I don't care.
Oh, you're over it? Good.
Yeah, I'm like over it.
In fact, let them have it and we'll go by Citi Field.
That would bother me. I wouldn't want that. Let's go to David calling from Queens. How are you, David?
What up, David?
What's going on, guys? Love the show so far.
Thank you, man.
Thanks. What's up?
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about Braylon Allen for a second. And I heard you guys earlier in the show talking about why he didn't play third downs versus San Francisco, and Tiki mentioned probably because they didn't trust him.
Right.
I'm wondering if you guys remember why he got into the second game versus Tennessee, because it hasn't really come up yet. I haven't heard anyone talk about it because he wasn't part of the game plan. So I'm curious to know if you guys even remember why he even got an opportunity on the field and took advantage of it.
I'm trying to remember now when he actually got in. I think it was late first half. He got into the game and had a couple of carries. And did Breece get like banged up real quick?
I can go look at it real quick. But you know what's funny? So, I don't remember either. I just remember him playing. And I was like, man, this kid is good.
I was so excited to see him on the field. But what happened with Breece? You remember?
Breece went into the blue tent for a drive. People won't remember it. But he went into the blue tent. He came out and just dominated one drive. And Robert Saleh was like, hey, this guy's actually pretty good.
Ride the hot hand.
That's crazy. Yeah. No, you're right about that. I'm looking back at that game. Right. So the Jets at the time were losing 7-0, and they had a 3-and-out where Breece Hall had the ball. I think it was on like basically every try on that 3-and-out. And then they had the Brandon Echols interception. They got the ball back, Hall's out, and Braylon Allen was on the field. And that was it. And that was a touchdown drive, which Braylon Allen finished off with the 12-yard touchdown catch. So that drive was kind of like the opening of Braylon Allen, and it tied the game up at 7 to end the first half. And then coming out in the second half, Breece Hall was good to go, and he was back on the field. But now Allen had proven himself and had become a part of the offense. Crazy. Yeah. And look, that's how opportunities come, right? I mean, that's sports. Look what's happening right now with the Mets with Luis Angel Acuna. Why is he even here? Why is he playing? Because of an injury.
All right, so I'm looking at the play. It was 3rd and 1. With about 30 seconds left in the first quarter. Handoff to Breece. He gets drilled in the backfield by E.J. Jones, or Ernest Jones. And then he doesn't play until the third quarter. He doesn't have another carry until the third quarter.
He was on the next possession he was out there. Check it out. The next possession he was out there.
Right, but maybe he was...
In his last play was a 3rd and long. He had a 10-yard reception. He was short.
Right.
And that was it. So maybe something happened there, or what you said, and it didn't really come into effect until right after.
Right.
And then he didn't play till the second half. That drive that tied the game up at 7 late in the first half of the Tennessee game was the coming out for Braylon Allen, because they had to put him on the field, and he took advantage of the opportunity. Which is not new. I mean, that's
7 carries, 33 yards in that game, obviously a rushing touchdown.
And look what he did last night. I mean, he was averaging 5.5 yards per carry. There were times, and I'm not knocking Breece. You know, I love Breece. He's your favorite player, too. But Braylon Allen looked better.
Yeah.
If we're being honest.
For a young guy, he's so patient. You know, getting to the hole, getting through to and through the hole. He's just very patient. He picks the right cut most times. Yeah, that's just Wisconsin running backs for you.
Are you getting... Do you think Breece is going to get jealous when he hears you talk like this?
No, he won't.
Okay.
I still love Breece.
All right, because there's a picture hanging right above your head that says, to Tiki from your favorite Jet, Breece Hall.
Yeah.
And you're talking very, very glowingly about Braylon right now.
But I'll never have a Braylon Allen jersey.
Not until I buy it for you.
Do you think for the Jets offense, he's the Allen Key?
You mean that former politician, Allen Keys? Is that the reference?
No, if you ever used a tool, you'd get the reference. Exactly.
Is that true? Because you know who Allen Keys was? True story?
I don't think anybody cares.
It's a good story.
All right, go for it.
When Barack Obama became a senator from the great state of Illinois, the guy he beat to become a United States senator was a man by the name of Allen Keys.
I'm a loser.
True story. Spelled differently.
Well, yeah, it's like K-E-Y-E-S.
Yeah, there's an E. There's an S. An E between the Y and S.
Don't tell me like you know Allen Keys.
Me?
Yeah.
No.
I know him.
But I just looked up Allen Key because it's really kind of like an Allen wrench.
Yeah, but they call it an Allen key.
Yeah, it is also an Allen key. If I said Allen wrench, would you know what I'm talking about?
No, I know nothing about tools. I'll be honest with you. That's where I think my dad was a great dad. I love my dad. You know, he taught me nothing about that stuff.
Have you ever shopped at IKEA?
Yes, and then I cried that night.
Right, because you get that little tool that's like one end is real short, and the other one's long, and you got to like fit it in the little hole and then twist it.
Yeah.
You tighten it by turning it the other way and using the long lever.
Oh, no, I know. Right?
That's an Allen wrench. Ugh. That's what he was trying to do.
Tiggy, I'm not even joking. There are certain nights you'll never forget in your life. I was driving to go to a New Jersey Nets game. I had just finished my midday show. I drove out early to go to IKEA because I had just bought a brand new apartment and I wanted to put some furniture in there. And I went to IKEA and I was so overwhelmed and so alone, I started bawling. I'm a baby.
In the store?
I swear to God.
Wow.
I had to leave the store. And I called my...
You just didn't know what to buy?
I was overwhelmed. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just life. I was overwhelmed by the size and the magnitude of IKEA, the idea of putting everything together, the idea of everything being just so big and enormous. I started bawling. I went into my car and I called my mommy and daddy. And I was like, I can't take this. And they're like, get over it, Dad. They're like,
grow a bear, son.
Like, it's okay. Why don't you hire somebody and they'll put it all together for you? Spend that money. And that's exactly what I did. Because IKEA is a very intimidating place. Mm. The great Joe Bodingo is coming up. We have time for a lot more of your phone calls throughout the show as well, including getting you set for a huge week three for the New York Giants and a huge New York baseball weekend as the New York Mets remain red hot with their fourth consecutive win last night. We'll get to all of it coming up. Toll-free numbers 888-808-1019, but Joe B, 6 minutes away.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.